Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Seeking What They Sought. I'm one of your hosts, Sean Lenhoff. Today, Anthony and I get together with longtime friend Jordan Letty to talk about what it was like growing up Adventist and being fans of video games, movies, and other types of entertainment during the 90s and early 2000s. We reflect on the most taboo topics during that era, like Pokemon and Harry Potter, and whether or not our church's response to those types of content was helpful or harmful. Join us today on this journey of being more intentional about what God really wants for us when it comes to these issues. And hopefully, you'll end up joining me in saying, I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. Welcome to the Pump. To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. All right, so Jordan Letty, we have a special guest with us today. And Jordan, we go back a long time.
We do indeed. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Here I am. Yeah.
So Jordan, I've known you since, I want to say fifth grade. Is that right? Was it fifth grade that you came to Buena Vista, Seventh-day Adventist School in Auburn, Washington?
That was me. I remember going there. It was the middle of the school year move. So I came in January and I was like, okay, trying to figure out like, how do you make friends kind of stuff. So I was just a kid, but I remember Sean coming up to me and saying like, you're from Nebraska. And I was like, yeah, I'm from Nebraska. And Sean was like, what's the best thing that comes out of Nebraska? And I'm like, I don't know, corn. He's like, no, I-80. And from that minute, I was like, all right, we're going to be friends.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that joke. That was my dad's joke. 100% my dad's joke.
Oh, it was amazing.
There's no way a fifth grader knows about that. I don't even think I knew what the I stood for in I-80 in fifth grade.
I think you actually said the wrong highway. You said I something else.
Oh, probably.
But I knew what you meant.
I was just trying to insult you. I was trying to pretend I was clever.
I loved it.
But Jordan, that was, I think, in 2002, which means that we've known each other for 20 years now. It's been 20 years. That feels old. So we were like 10. And a lot has happened in those 20 years. Mainly, we've watched a lot of movies and played a lot of video games. That's been the most important things that have happened over the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, many people may not know this about us. So first off, Anthony and I, which by the way, Anthony is going to be joining us in a little bit. Anthony and you and I are all pastor's kids. And a few seasons ago, Anthony and I spoke about that and talked about our experiences as pastor's kids, just some of the different challenges and what that was like. But Jordan, you were also a pastor's kid with us. And I think I knew you, and there was one other friend we had that was a pastor's kid with us. Mm-hmm. At least a boy.
I've been referenced on the podcast before.
Yeah, like the other boy. I'll say from what I remember, the girl pastor's kids did not get in trouble as much as we did.
Yeah.
And that was probably deserved. I don't know. It was probably deserved in some ways, but there were also some times that we were targeted as pastor's kids.
Yes, I remember. You shared that story where a teacher had said, I know the pastor's kids in the back shouldn't be talking because I know what grades they have right now. And I was one of them. There was homework missing.
The worst is they would, that teacher would draw like an art tapestry on the whiteboard. Yes. And the test scores would go on, like, you know, it would be like an ocean, and the up in the sunshine and palm trees would be the high scores, the 87%, the 85, and then you get below sea level, which was a pun, of course, but to us it was just trauma. Like, I was traumatized by that. I hated seeing, because you kind of knew which score was yours. And people would be like, and the kids in the class would be like, oh, like there's the 48%, there's the 32%. But anyways, as pastor's kids, there were times that we were sometimes targeted. So we sometimes banded together. We were known for a while as the LPKs, which not only was, I think it was kind of like a double play on words. One was like the PKs, but then we were also Letty, Leiter, and Lenhoff. So it was the the LPKs.
Yes.
So that was how we survived.
As we had the secret handshake and everything.
We did have a secret handshake. That's not a joke. So Jordan, we go ways back, and we actually, even in high school, somehow we graduated, but we did a website.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you want people to know about that website.
No, I mean, that was goals.
Look, I don't put that on my resume as part of my greatest accomplishments, but we ran a very short stint. Yeah. We ran a tripod website that had a video game and movie reviews.
Yes.
And so we've been talking about these kind of things for a long time. We even did dumb YouTube videos together back when YouTube was young, when that was the main...
deleted because we had like Superman music in the background or something.
Oh, I'm really sad. I actually really would feel very nostalgic to watch those two those two videos. They were called like the new job
part
one and two videos. I would bring some nostalgia love in my heart to see that again. But
but for as deep of a fandom you had for Nintendo and Mario,
yeah,
my fandom was equaled or rivaled with Star Wars. I have been so deeply ingrained, and we would sometimes talk about like weird fan fictions about where characters would go to the other universe, and then at the end of it we'd like laugh, and I'd go home and I'd be like, Star Wars is better though.
Yep, I know. And I would do the same thing. Look, and to get into our topic, Jordan, we grew up with, you know, being interested in those type of things, video games, movies, TV shows. And there were so many that we just kind of latched onto. We loved the storytelling, and maybe we didn't get it at the time. When you're kids, you don't get why you like something, mm-hmm. right? I'll ask my students, even in junior high, like, why do you like this? It's like, I don't know. I just do. It's cool. Right. That's all that matters. But as you get older, you kind of look back and you realize like, here's the things that made story building and immersive storytelling so good. And so you can look back at why now you love Star Wars, you know, what was it about Star Wars that you latched onto, what resonated with you, why it was powerful. And same thing for me, you know, whether it be other different movies, TV shows, video games, now we can kind of look back and see, oh yeah, that's why we loved those things, why they connected us to something that was meaningful for us at the time. And there may have even been a component of escapism, right? I want to be careful by saying that, because I know that for many, anything that involves this idea of escaping to a fantasy land or something that's not rooted in reality is bad, inherently bad. But I think we might push back on that a bit, and we'll kind of see where that leads us. So Jordan, I'm really excited to get into our topic. I actually titled it, I don't know if Eric's going to actually let me get away with this because it's maybe too on the nose, but I titled our conversation Pokemon, Potter, and Panic. And I at least two of those things are things that were big taboos in the church. Lately, not so much. When I talk to kids now, Pokemon is not a big deal. Even Harry Potter is really not a big deal, at least where I'm at. Where I'm at talking to kids, like, there's still some fans of Harry Potter. They read the books and their parents are pretty chill about it. When we were kids, that was a pretty big deal. I even remember there was someone in our class that was really into Harry Potter. And I think I remember that being a big deal. Like, oh, how did their parents let them read the books and all that?
There was questions on whether like teachers at our schools would even let them bring it to the school, because they, you know, want to read even, and this is the high school level I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll defer to like how it is today to you guys. I know, cause you guys all went and you're still involved so deeply, even in your career, with the Adventist world. Whereas I went to Adventist education my entire life, all the way through master's program. And then got my first adult job. And it was a very secular world where people didn't even know what Seventh-day Adventist was. They barely knew what Latter-day Saints was. So they confused that. Yep. They don't understand some of the things that I took for granted. Like even terms like Vespers was so obvious. So I'm also now, the person that is so strange, being a pastor's kid and then moving to like the lay person who like gets their Adventist culture on the weekends again, but not throughout the entire week like you guys do. So I've hit a lot of like, whoa, that's like totally fine. And people are like, yeah, what was ever wrong with Harry Potter? You know? It's just not something that they really talked about too much.
Right. And it definitely is. I don't know if I'd say it's fully unique to Adventism, because a lot of the stuff we'll even be talking about now, especially from the 90s, the early 2000s, a lot of it was just in Christianity, mm-hmm. evangelical Christianity, but it was definitely also in Adventism. And that was kind of our world. That was what we grew up in. And so we have our experiences from that. So one of my earliest experiences with anything like that, you know, was Pokemon, was the height of, I keep saying the height, but I don't know where is the height of Pokemon, because you look at Pokemon Go and that was so massive, but you also look at the 90s and when the trading cards first came out, when the anime first came out, and that was insane too. So I don't know, it has different and renaissance even this periods.
Last year, like McDonald's selling out of kids meals because they had Pokemon cards, because there was no Pokemon cards to be found during the pandemic, and suddenly McDonald's had them, so they were sold out.
And the games still sell like crazy. Like they sell better than they ever did. So really, anyways, the beginning, the 90s, the start of the Pokemon craze brought with it a lot of scrutiny in the church, both in Adventism, but also just in evangelical Christianity. And it's an interesting one. As a kid and as a pastor's kid, when it first started, I latched onto it like most 7 and 8 year olds and 9 year olds. And I just wanted to play with the little figurines. I remember going to the mall and those capsule containers, they'd have little Pokemon figurines. And I needed to get that Bulbasaur, and I got the Bulbasaur. I got the Poliwhirl. I love those things. I played with those things all the time. And there came a point, and you know, like Jordan, we'll reference this. Like, we're not throwing our parents under the bus. Like, they just kind of, you know, like they were a pastor's family. So it's like, if there was criticism, you kind of do the whole game of, you know, we don't want to be a stumbling block. We don't want to cross this bridge. So let's just not deal with it. Let's not talk, you know, like, let's get rid of it. Let's not deal with it. Right. And so I remember as a kid, my parents approaching me about the Pokemon figurines and saying like, Sean, we have to throw them away. And I remember how heartbreaking that was. Like I couldn't have them anymore. I don't know if they gave them away or they threw them away, but I really loved those things. I wanted to grow my collection of figurines as a kid. And then it was like, nope, this is now done. We can't do this anymore. But Mario was okay. So that was still okay.
And my experience with Pokemon was, I was in first grade when that was really hitting, really huge. And I was also, I guess, like the millennial cool kid, because I was the first grader that came with a Lunchable every day. Yeah. And I went to like a little two-room school in Nebraska, Christian schools, Avenue School. But there were a few kids where Pokemon, it was absolutely a no-go. And a few kids that it was absolutely an obsession. So on the back of the Lunchables, they had like a few of the, like, as if they were cards, but they were teeny tiny. You could cut them out. Yeah. And there was a point where my dad, hearing some of these things coming up, he almost didn't even want to let me have the Lunchables, but I told him I was giving them away to a kid at school. And I don't know how that made it better. But at the same time, like you referenced, Mario's okay. My parents would, if they knew we're watching Pokemon, it was over. Like, you know, TV off, you're in trouble, go outside now.
Yeah.
No more TV. But there was a show called Digimon at the time, if you don't know. Digimon is, in my worldview at the time, and I'm not a huge Pokemon or Digimon fan, so don't come for me, but at my worldview at the time, it was kind of an alternate version of Pokemon. And instead of it being like little monsters that evolve, it was more like they're in a digital world, and it's like a digital monster that can like change back and forth from their, like, you know, final forms and things like that. So my parents would come in, they're like, are you watching Pokemon? I'm like, no, it's Digimon. And my dad would be like, oh, okay. And just like, but the art style is very similar, especially like in the early years of anime coming to the regular TV screens. So I mean, yeah, there was no reason to believe us. I think that's what's like, so shocking to me. But that was okay for us.
Jordan, did you ever do the jump trick with your TV? Like, you're watching TV and you can on your remote, at least on the remote I had, like we would have our TV set up in our room. Like it wasn't like in the living room. It'd be in the separate little bonus room. Uh-huh. And I learned the trick as a kid, how to jump between two channels. You could click the jump button and you could toggle between two channels. So if I was watching, so for me, it was Yu-Gi-Oh! Right.
Yeah.
And Yu-Gi-Oh, you know, we'll get it. Like Yu-Gi-Oh has a lot of Egyptian god theme with it and a lot of stuff involving the shadow realm, things that could be portrayed as spiritual, demonic, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just loved the stories and whatever, the characters. And, but I knew right away, my parents would not, like, if they saw, you know, even snippets of it, it would be like, nope, that's done. You're done with this show. And so it would be like a Mariners baseball game on the other channel. And I could jump, if I hear the door crack, I could jump it between those two. And that was my little kid hack as a yeah, kid. I would definitely do that to get away with watching Yu-Gi-Oh.
It definitely got easier when the channels changed at one point of our childhoods, where suddenly Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, Disney Channel were all in a row on the TV channels. So depending on what your where you were, it was like channels 30, 31, and 32. Those were all the kids' channels. Then right after that was Animal Planet. And so it's a lot easier to just like click. I did a lot of the we're grounded, we're not supposed to watch TV.
Yeah.
And when my parents, we kind of got into a latchkey phase where my parents would be working and come home after we did.
Sure.
And they got smart because we would just like watch it until we hear the car pull up and turn off the TV and go sit at the table as if we were just like, oh yeah, the reason I haven't done my homework, I'm just spacing out. But my parents got smart and they started feeling the back of the TV. And if it was warm, it was on. So I do remember getting in trouble for
Still has the crackle, like the TVs that crackled.
Yeah, the 3D TVs, as the kids call them, because there's a big box on the back of the TV and it's 3D. Yep. Not flat.
So look, we all, I mean, that's a kid thing all the time. We find loopholes. That's what kids do sometimes. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of this idea of, we didn't know why, we just knew we weren't supposed to. And we'd hear the occasional thing about why it was bad or whatever. I'm trying to remember if in school, Jordan, we really heard a lot of it. I know we definitely heard about Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I know there are multiple teachers that would talk about that and why it was bad. Pokemon, I think there were a few times I remember, like maybe first or second grade, that a kid would bring, you know, one of the Game Boy cartridges in. And I don't know if it was more about playing your Game Boy at school or more if it was Pokemon. It might've been a mix of both, why the kid would get in trouble for it. But I do remember a few instances like that.
Yeah. With Pokemon, it's strange. I do have a gut feeling, and I we'd have to ask those teachers, but I do have a gut feeling that Pokemon was more like, we're just going to go ahead and say no to it because there'd be too many parents that would complain. And so it's more of the teachers being like, let's just get back to school. And this is such a big thing that I have to deal with parents afterwards. I don't know if you've ever dealt with a parent calling you about being upset about anything with your school.
Yeah. I mean, and look, as a teacher, I get it. To a certain point, it's like, if this is going to cause an issue, you always appeal to the most conservative group. Like, honestly, it's the easier thing to do, just to be honest. And so there's so many things you're trying to do as a teacher. So anything that's going to distract, I think you're right. I think it was mainly just, let's get on with what we're here for. And if it's distracting from that, let's just push it aside. So yeah, especially with Pokemon, I think that was definitely the cause.
Yeah.
And
with Pokemon, I think like the specific controversy was it stands for Pocket Monster. And I think a lot of evangelical Christian types, especially, I was in the Midwest when that was coming out too, so we're closer to the Bible Belt in that sense. I think that word monster is where a lot of people got hung up. And like, what is a monster? Is it a demon? And just like searching the internet on Reddit and Quora and things like that, that came up a lot. It was like that equivocation that pocket monsters basically is a pocket demon. What's the difference? However, what I was told as a kid was that witches had created the game Pokemon to trick kids into witchcraft and that there are things, and it was the first time I ever heard the term tarot card, and the trading cards are actually secretly tarot cards that are just changed art. Which now as an adult, like having seen the difference, I'm like, I mean, I don't know what jump that is, but I think there's a lot of that like fear that came up. Like you hear a monster, like, is that a good thing or an evil thing? You hear cards and it's like, well, I know some cards are bad. And in fact, we probably go into like some playing cards are not allowed by Christian kids our age as well.
Yeah. So, and to reference that too, what I was told alongside that was that the Pokemon cards were made by this company called Wizards of the Coast. And I don't know if you remember that, but, and I just did a quick reference. It is true that Wizards of the Coast did make the trading card games. They didn't invent Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
But they did produce the cards for it, at least for a 5-year span. Now it's not like they're not associated with it at all, but during the 90s they were. So that was the big thing I always heard is like, oh, Wizards of the Coast. And it was some reason Pokemon was always linked with Dungeons and Dragons as well. And I don't remember if that's because both are a parent company, like Wizards of the Coast is a parent. I'm ignorant in that regard.
Wizards of the Coast eventually did gain the, I don't know when, but they do have the rights to Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know when that started.
So that's the connection. And people associate the fear behind Dungeons and Dragons with Pokemon. So there's a lot of connections there. Jordan, you sent me something that has some weird evangelical conspiracy for Pokemon.
This is a fan curated kind of wiki page, and they have the Pokemon controversies. That's what we're talking about. And so yeah, there's a bunch of them that are kind of collected here.
I mean some of them are even the ones we mentioned already. Some of them mention like the anime as like a budding romance between Ash and Brock being like a clear, like, oh, well, their relationship's not clear, so therefore they're promoting like if you watch this, then you are going to become homosexual, like that action, which there's so much there's so many layers of ignorance there, of,
which is wild because there's two friends for Ash, and one is a guy and one is a girl. And again, I haven't gone as deep into Pokemon, partially because I wasn't allowed to, and by the time it was like, oh, okay, it's hard now as an adult to get into. All of a sudden when I've got so many other fandoms I need to curate at my house alone. But yeah, so I'm just like, but there was a guy and a girl. And
it's weird reaching, like you see it in other areas too. There's something here about if you play one of the songs, a couple of the songs backwards. Mm-hmm. Oh man, Jordan, we're getting into backwards masking. Oh, we could talk forever about this.
Flashbacks.
Yeah, we had a teacher that did Beatles songs and others where we would play the record backwards and you'd hear stories about Satan.
Meanwhile, we were like, what is a record? We did not understand.
And now as a Bible teacher, I'm like, this is what we're spending our time on?
Right.
Like, we're talking about this? Like, why don't we read the Bible? But anyways, that's another one. There's a couple other things, just weird conspiracy. And these things were even like preached from the pulpit. I guess I wouldn't say that I remember any pastors.
No, not at all.
In the Adventist church that I saw, but we can go back. There's some famous YouTube videos out there where there's preachers that talk about Pokemon and Harry Potter and others too. But yeah, I read a book. There was an Adventist pastor that wrote a famous detective club series book called Just in Case.
Oh yeah.
And there was a book specifically about how if you read Harry Potter, there was a kid that read too much Harry Potter, and so he tried to jump off of a banister with a witch broom and he got a serious injury from trying to fly as a witch. And that was like the premise of the book.
Oh man, that's so wild because it's like, I mean, how many stories exist like that and they don't revolve Harry Potter, like watching Mary Poppins and doing the umbrella to jump off things, or even just anything really, like kids just wanting to be like, I bet I can wear balloons and jump off things. It's not really related to any media or witches or magical people, but it's a common trope that you see on TV shows about the little flashback as a kid. The first time I broke my leg was I made these wings out of blankets and thought I could jump off the roof. It's don't such try a common this at home. Thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, going back to your song, it does say that someone said if you play the, it says Canto Poke Rap, got to catch them all backwards, you can hear I Love Satan. I don't know if we said that out loud, but I was like, I wanted to go back and say that for the curious listener.
It's just so wild. I like in my head now, it's like, why would you go to the trouble? Like at that point, it's almost like, why would you do that? Why would they take the time to make that work? Even the Beatles things, like I haven't looked much into like the Beatles and like the other ones that were referenced for backward masking, but I'm like, why would you go to the trouble to send a subliminal message? And it's just kind of wild. I don't know. I just don't know if that's really valid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm wondering now as an adult, just now, like, I wonder what the research shows, does the subliminal message of something backwards really kick in or not? Because I think growing up has been a lot of the things that you grow up and you assume is true. You've heard it a million times. Then like you go to college or you're an adult and you like, you know, read articles like, you know, there's different taste buds, like different sections of your taste buds do different tastes. And now they're like, oh, that's not true at all. You know, and so I'm wondering if that actually works or not, but that's another topic.
Well, so Jordan, when we talk about all this, I think what it kind of comes down to is as Christians, as Adventists, you know, we do know that just in all seriousness, like God does call us to a certain way of life for committing to Him and changing our priorities. Like He disrupts our life. Mm-hmm. And that's a reality. So when it comes to what we prioritize in life, and a lot of times what that ends up manifesting, you know, the way it manifests in conversation sometimes is, you know, what do you spend your time on? Which I think is a valid conversation.
Yeah.
But it tends to, for whatever reason, it tends to get into some of the nitty gritty of like, what shows do you watch or what you don't watch? What, you know, just little minute actions that you take, right? What you watch, what you don't watch, does it contain this or that? And you can play that game anywhere. We've talked about music before, on the podcast, and you know, even that, like, oh, if you have certain musical instruments in your worship band, like that is encouraging satanic worship or certain beats that are going to take away from what God wants. And I guess where I'm trying to go, Jordan, and I know you're the guest, but I'm also asking you because I know you've thought about this a lot, is how do we draw a reasonable line, or how do we talk about these things in a healthy way as Adventists that would lead to understanding what God is looking for when it comes to being separated from the world and its priorities and what God wants for us? How do we do that in a realistic way?
Yeah, that's truly the question, right? Because we can sit here and be like, there is nothing Satan on any of this stuff. But does that mean that we should just, everybody go for it. Let your kids jump right in. I know you guys did the episode on the Sabbath and like what we're not allowed to do. And one of the big things with our childhood before streaming services was Saturday morning cartoons. And that's where the new episodes of your favorite cartoons would come out. All that stuff. Being pastor's kids, we'd have to get up actually probably earlier than other people because we'd have to be the first ones at the church and everything. So there was no, first of all, TV, no secular cartoons on Sabbath that we were even allowed to in the week. But I think there was something kind of beautiful to be learned just from that, like that being able to, even though it's not wrong and evil, to just really like instill that idea of like there is a separate time for your time with God, and that's like a very easy I think analogy of a distraction, because it'd be very easy for me as a kid to be like, well, I don't want to go to church because I'm just going to keep watching this show, but the end of that show would be the next one, and the end of that show would be the next one, and if it was completely up to me as a kid, I'd probably just watch cartoons all day, and right, then I right. wouldn't have the experiences with the church community that I did if it was up to me. So yeah, go ahead.
No, that's a good point, because in the same way for me, it was video games. And I would definitely say in parts of grade school and high school, like I played too much. I played too many video games and it wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for my health mentally, physically. It wasn't good for me spiritually, academically. I definitely did not have my priorities straight for a large chunk of it. And Jordan, we went through some of the struggles of that. Like we went through math together.
Yeah.
In late mirrored grade struggles. School and high school. And when Anthony gets here, he was part of that too. We were all in the trenches.
Yes. It's
rough. Of
it's,
academics
it's established on the pod.
Yeah. For a long time we struggled. And so I'm completely on board. What we're not saying here is that you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And just, you know, like there is a certain element of discipline and restraint and discernment when it comes mm-hmm. to what we put into our minds, what we, you know, what we see, what we listen to, they do affect us, right? There's spiritual and psychological evidence that what we listen to, what we watch affects us both positively and negatively. So with that all being said though, it's still hard to, it's one thing to say case by case, right? We can talk about, for me, I know that there were, I have a desire sometimes to escape. And like, I'm an introvert. So if I can mm-hmm. be home where it's quiet, and this is still the case today, I'm just happy to be home quiet, either watching something or playing a video game. That's my relaxation. And there's a certain element where that could be good just to disconnect from the busyness. But there can be a threshold where I'm like, there's things that need to be done. And it's for me now as an adult with a kid and a family and responsibilities, it's much more difficult for that to really manifest as a problem. Cause I just don't have time for it to be a problem. But there are those that maybe weren't as lucky as I was to realize that and get my priorities straight, where they gave into video game addiction. I have students that stay up all night playing, and it's in some ways less about what they're playing and the fact that they're just playing all night. They're not getting sleep. Mm. They're not ready for school the next day. Same thing with, you know, binge watching a show. So
right.
There's two issues here. There's kind of amount, I guess, and content. So, and for me, even I'll just really quick say this, because Jordan, I know you're interested in horror, and I'll go right into horror. I went through a horror phase in high school. Where I watched all the Saw movies, Hills Have Eyes. I watched, 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later. And I'll tell you, like, those movies, I don't know if you ever saw the 28 Day and Week uh-huh. movies, mm-hmm. but I remember those ones, for whatever reason, when I first watched those ones, messed with me. Like, those ones specifically really stuck out. And I remember at a certain point, for me at least, like, I had a hard time sleeping. I was really... like it really stirred me up. It caused a lack of rest in my soul, basically, is the way I'd describe it. And so there was a certain point where I was like, you know what? Like, I can watch these things. And it's like the rebellious thing, like, oh, I can go watch these things. It's fun. It's interesting and whatever. But at a certain point, even in high school, I realized like, yeah, like this isn't good for me. Like it's not for me. It's not just enjoyment. Like it's causing me a lack of rest and peace and it's bothering me. So I was like, I just need to be done with it. For me, it was too much. It that threshold was clearly met. I could see through experience, this was not good for me. Right. But I know that could be different for other people. You know, it may be a different experience where that doesn't bother in the same way.
Yeah, it's very true. Horror movies generally, and I said generally and specifically, were definitely something that was frequently not allowed in Christian homes, especially ours. Yeah. I know that most of the horror movies I watched as a kid, of course, were snuck. Even into probably my early years of college, were snuck. And because that was just like a big no-no. My parents definitely, at least now, are still against it. They're more on the edge of like what you're talking about, how like, why would you spend so much time on something that's going to make you feel scared and these negative emotions and feelings, like, and how much is that gonna kick in for you?
Yeah.
Let's see. But yeah, so I know for horror movies, when I was in high school, I was trying to like start getting into that. I was watching a lot of like the classics, the campy horror movies. I didn't understand campness, which is just essentially like to be ridiculous for ridiculous sake, which a lot of horror movies do dive into, like to be silly, to show the most gruesome, gory deaths on purpose that would be unrealistic. I didn't understand it. And so I do remember sneaking it with my younger brother. One day we were watching Chucky or Child's Play, and I remember thinking, I hate horror movies, and this is not scary at all, and I hate it, and it's not, I don't like it. And for my brother, it was like a monumental moment of how horrified he was. He's never been that scared in his life, and it like haunted him. And he had like a Christopher Robin like stuffed animal doll, because he had grown up really little as a Winnie the Pooh fan. He was older at the time, but him and his friend were so terrified from the same movie the same day that we snuck and watched it, that they went and they cut up that doll and they went to different houses in the neighborhood to like hide it, because they were like, we do not want this doll to come back and like attack us. And it's just one of those things that like for different people, it's going to affect them different, especially in horror. There's going to be people that are constantly, yeah, even in horror fandom, like saying this is not scary versus this is. And so in the same way, I think like in our like Christian walks or even our parenting skills, you know, again, we can say individualized, but I think it's very true. I think that there might be a pressure to keep up where we don't have to. If it bothers you, that's okay. If it doesn't bother you, that's okay. It's once, it's like too much of a good thing can be bad. And then too much of a edgy thing like horror movies definitely can be bad. It can cause anxiety problems, and that's a lot of adrenaline to be dealing with all the time.
Yeah. And you know, that's kind of the slippery slope logic we'll get in there too. Because I think the common response would be, well, how do you know if you're a person that can handle it? Why even risk it, right? If it's not even, like, if it's even a possibility of really disturbing you and bothering you, maybe you should never even deal with that, right? That's the same thing with drinking, right? So some people with an argue against drinking any level of alcohol. We talked about this on our alcohol episode, is basically like, hey, some people genetically, like, it only takes one drink and they could get hooked and could have serious drunken issues throughout their life, whatever addiction. And so why even risk it for something like that? So in the same light, I think, whether it be horror or some other thing that could cause issues, right? Video games, why even risk it if it's just going to cause problems for a certain percentage of people? And I can speak from that personally, because I've gone through that. And I think all of us, and now Anthony is here, the ultimate gamer out of all of us. I don't know if you can even hear me right now, but Anthony, welcome. It's good to have you on. We've been talking about you for 37 minutes straight right now behind your back. So we've been just talking about you. Anthony.
Yes.
We've been talking for a little bit about, I don't even know what to call this, Jordan.
Didn't we have a name for this? Wasn't this Potter and Panic?
Yes. It's better than that title I had on my notes. I just straight up wrote Satan Panic. So I don't think that's a great podcast episode. I mean, it might get you some viewers.
Yeah.
It's I'm trying to think of like a Panic at the Disco reference, but I can't think of anything right now. I feel like
at least not anything appropriate.
Panic at
the Disco is kind of wild. I mean, I love
that. Wow, look at us. The LPKs fully reunited.
Yes,
wow, that's a throwback term.
We talked about that.
Oh, you guys did? Nice.
Yeah. We did. We talked about our history.
We talked about your grades in high school.
Just mine?
I actually have your report card.
You have your report card.
Your report card from 2008.
Well, if you do, I'm so sorry. What a sad thing to look at.
My GPA in 2008 was rough.
Yeah,
sophomore year was my worst year. Year was the worst year for me.
Sophomore year is rough. Sophomore year is like, it's like, Sean, how we always say sixth grade is rough for everyone. You know, like when you're in sixth grade, almost no one has a great time in sixth grade. It's like you're going through puberty. It's just a rough time.
Well, that's junior high. Like I've seen that's it now. True. Like it, and it depends on the class. It's amazing how depends on the class dynamics. But Yeah, Anthony, we've been talking about different mediums, so video games, even music, TV shows, movies. So it's so easy as we look back, we can see how it's easy to make fun, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in hindsight, you can say it feels silly now, but back then it was a real issue. Mm-hmm. Especially as pastor's kids, like we weren't supposed to have certain things. Anthony, were there certain things in your home that were considered demonic or like, hey, throw that junk out, get rid of that. That's, you know, comic books, video games, certain shows you weren't allowed to watch.
100%. Like the list of things that my mom had, my mom definitely had a physical list, I'm sure. And I love my mom. My mom is one of my best friends, but at the time, definitely my mom was on the war, not just my mom, both my parents. I would say not to single her out. I feel as if, Pokemon, both the show and the card game was totally off limits. I remember when it was discovered that I had a Pokemon deck, that was not okay. And Yu-Gi-Oh! As
like
well.
Like finding the magazines under the bed, it's just Pokemon.
Yeah, it was literally on that level for sure.
Except it's Egyptian gods.
Yeah. And like demons and monsters. And so my mom's like, what is this? That was definitely not allowed. There were like a whole list of like cartoon shows too. Mm-hmm. Like SpongeBob was not allowed in our home.
Interesting.
Most of Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network was not allowed. But I would say as far as being called like demonic or evil, like definitely Pokemon, like the Pokemon, Digimon, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh, like all of those kind of like Japanese animes that, you know, had come over onto Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network. Those were not allowed. And then Harry Potter was the big one for sure.
Right. Yeah.
That was a big deal for me because I was a huge fantasy fiction nerd and my parents would not allow me. Although my dad said he would allow me to read it so I could defend against it. Like just so I could know.
The best excuse. Like, what a great excuse.
Like, I remember asking him, I was like, yo dad, like everyone's reading Harry Potter. Like, can I read this? And he was like, I've heard a lot about that. Like only for like apologetics, like only so you can defend against it. So you know the story enough how to like, show others why it's evil.
Yeah. I never read the books, but in college at one point, one summer, I watched all the movies. I binged every movie. And at the end, I was like, these are fun. Like, these are just fantasy movies. That's all they are. Like,
this is the gospel.
I'm a Wiccan now. But seriously, that's the concern. That was the concern. And Jordan and I were talking about it a bit, was this kind of fear. Like, if you watch this or that, you're going to be attracted to satanic worship, things of the devil. And it's just really interesting that that was a legitimate concern for a large number of people.
Truly. Did you already talk about the whole, like, there was this pamphlet I remember my mom read to us during evening worship. And it was essentially like it was like this printed out pamphlet. And it was this whole kind of timeline of how J.K. Rowling had like learned the real spells. Yep. I see you nodding, Jordan. She had learned the real witchcraft, and she had like changed some of the names to like hide it. And then like how she was a secret, you know, Wiccan or like Satanist. They weren't sure in the pamphlet which one, because they didn't differentiate. But yeah, it was just this whole timeline of how like she was evil, and how like there was this like hidden agenda within the book to like convert kids to being satanic sort of thing. And I remember having like a family worship around this pamphlet, and like my parents being like really like dead serious, as a heart attack, like talking to us about this. So that was definitely.
So look, as a parent, I'm going to jump in and say this as a parent now, here's what my mindset is and this is what I'm guessing what happened, just to not throw any of our parents under the bus. Number one, they were pastors' families. And as a Bible teacher at a Christian school, like I get it. There's like, I was telling Jordan, you kind of appeal to the conservative, right? You just don't want to deal with it. Number one, you just don't want to deal with the drama. Whether you actually think it's a big deal or not, you just don't want to deal with it is first off. And then the other piece is the fact that when you have young kids and you're like, I probably don't think this is a big deal, but if there's even an inkling of truth and history does not shine back on me being too loose about it, then I'm going to feel really guilty about letting my kid be impressionable. So I might as well be conservative and just let it not be allowed in the house. And then as they get older, they can figure it out. That's generally the impression I get. And I think all of our parents, that's probably a certain element of it. Instead of being entirely swept up in the conspiracy and the panic, I think that's definitely a component. And I get that now as a parent, that you kind of play it safe to avoid that possibility.
Definitely changing times. But definitely with the changing times, because now it's easy for me to be like, because I was going to talk about that too with the, because even this weekend, because I was with my family, I asked about it. My mom and my sister, who's very like scientific and everything, are like, no, she definitely did that. She definitely used real Wiccan spells.
They still feel that way.
Right. So it's easy for me to say, like, it was so easy to go research. I found the quotes that we're always talking about where like the Church of Satan or paganism were saying something about like how happy they were for Harry Potter because their membership has increased tenfold. And I found it originating from an Onion article, and Onion is a satire only news thing. And so I find these things, and it's easy for me to say today, like, yeah, well, why don't you just do your research? But that's a really great point that I'm thinking of when you're mentioning like parents and like, you know, erring the side of safety. Today we have this access to the internet in our pockets at all times, whereas I can now see, like, think, like, it's changing my perspective. In the 90s and the 80s, when the they call it Satanic Panic was really like huge, that was not as easy. So if books were coming out and kids were buying them left and right, it was not as easy to go like look up and like see experts write multiple blog posts about like, no, I'm a Wiccan and that we don't use spells with words like that, or like, you know, like it's obvious. It's just that she just says Oculus Reparo to repair glasses. That's not Latin. Really a witch spell, that's just Latin for repair my glasses or something like that. I didn't take Latin, but that is a good point too, like to give some fairness and forgiveness toward our prior generations, maybe, is that if you're afraid and you're trying to raise your kid and you're trying to keep them safe, you know, how much of that was sheltering versus like, I don't know, I don't have a way to find out if that's true or not. And there are other things my kid can spend his time on that I don't have to worry about if I made the wrong decision for.
That's a huge paradigm shift, I feel like, Jordan, what you just said. Like, and sometimes I feel like it's so easy for us to forget, like, the shift between now, like you just said, like looking that quote up and finding it on an Onion article and being like, oh, this is just satire. But then like 20 years ago, for our parents not even to even know. Like, I don't even think my mom still knows what the Onion is. Like, I don't even think she knows that there are sites that post satirical news articles. I don't think she even knows that that's a real thing.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that actually, I mean, in a serious way, that, like, we can have maybe a little, like, a more empathy for them, because there's just no way for them to have the same amount of, like, instantaneous knowledge of all things, you know, that we have.
Right.
Yeah. It definitely changes as a parent. Like, you just... there's so much responsibility. And so I know for sure 20 years from now, there's going to be something stupid I did.
The most, you
know,
there's something old man.
Yeah, of course. And as a teacher too, I'm sure my students are going to be like, you remember Mr. Lenhoff talked about this and it was just ridiculous and wrong or whatever it is. You know, it's just how it goes. It's how history goes. We always make fun of, you know, 20 years ago for whatever we were wearing or what we believed in or whatever it may be. But I guess, Anthony, what we're trying to lead to is just a more balanced way of looking at this. And Anthony, this kind of goes with what you've started as kind of your podcast initiative, which is essentially looking at art and the stories that we connect to throughout our lives and that move us, that there is beauty in different things that aren't explicitly biblical, for one thing, but also may go into territories that we may initially be uncomfortable with and may be unusual and connected to things that could cause concern. So, Anthony, do you think there's a line? Do you think there's a line drawn for what is okay and what isn't when it comes to viewing, listening, consuming?
Have you guys already answered this question? Am I the last one?
we're finding out if you messed up and we had the right answer already to see if you get it. No, I mean, we kind of talked about it briefly. We talked about it really briefly, but we never fully answered it.
Have we already talked about that verse?
We haven't. We haven't. True,
okay.
And if you wanna bring that up, this is probably a good time to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the question of this episode, right? Like, what exactly should we as Adventist Christians be partaking of, like, multimedia wise, right? Is that's sort of the question, like,
yeah,
what is healthy for us to consume? And I do think that verse is helpful. Philippians 4:8-9, and I guess I'll just read it so we're on the same page. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Before I answer my take on this, I'm curious what you guys think about that verse.
I am always nervous about singling out a verse or two.
Mm-hmm. It's like proof texting.
Like, you know, proof texting. Yeah. We've talked about proof texting, and sometimes Adventism falls prey to it.
For sure.
For the way we talk about certain teachings, or when we look at a current event or a hot topic, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And this one tends to get lumped in with basically anything that a leader says is bad for us to listen or watch.
It's perfect,
right?
Ammunition. Yeah.
Yeah. It always, and I guess whenever I hear it, especially now, I wonder, like, then what's the limit? Like, then I should literally never, you know, whatever is admirable, whatever is pure and holy. So,
or who decides
when, like, I hear, I don't, this is a different topic, but like a funny, like a good joke. And a lot of times a good joke is not admirable or holy, mm-hmm. or I don't know. It depends on how you define,
you wanna give an example,
you know,
one,
what,
John?
What is pure. go to our Instagram garbage thread or
Facebook. Oh, true.
We have our page under dancing.
Oh, nice. Under dancing. I gotta look for that now.
So, like, here's the thing. We talk about that, but I guarantee that every person laughs at inappropriate things, whatever is deemed inappropriate. Like, we find inappropriate things funny as humans.
Yeah.
Whether you're the conservative pastor or you're the, you know, what, on the fringes of Adventism or Christianity or atheist, it doesn't matter. We all find things that we shouldn't find funny, or where we were told or conditioned that it's not appropriate. We find those things funny.
For sure.
And so I know this is kind of on a separate path, but it's the same idea that it's applied. Like, I think in my head, so every time I think of that dirty joke or whatever it may be, every time I do anything that isn't reading the Bible.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like anything entertainment wise, right? Like, where's the line? Like, how do you know, like, this, you know, I was telling Jordan before, I'll say it again really quick. I'm not going to sit my 3-year-old son Olin down to watch Saw 3 with me.
For sure.
Like that would be a problem. That is not good. Like that's a huge, there's huge repercussions for doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's not even Christian. That's just common sense, right? That's generally understood to be wrong. But how far do you go, right? How far do you go to say, you know, this is clearly the line, especially as Christians, especially when we look at verses like this, how do we balance that idea of thinking upon pure things, holy things, being set apart? What is a healthy way of looking at that idea?
Yeah. And I mean, you just mentioned being set apart, and I almost want to bring in that verse too, you know, kind of the living in the world, but not of the world idea. Jordan, you had written down some notes about this.
I was researching for this episode, and I was kind of just like looking on different, like where people do ask Reddit threads or like on Quora, and people had mentioned this, like living in the world, but not of the world. And I remember I was texting you guys, can you find that verse? Cause I can't find a verse that says that. What is it? Like, I was thinking maybe it's like a long, like maybe there's 6 verses to it, and that's why I'm not finding one single verse. But essentially this phrase we use is kind of a thing that is more in the Christian subculture. It's tied to a lot of verses, we must live in the world, but not of the world. And so the closest verse I found was the Romans 12:2, which says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And there's a lot of terms in different verses of the Bible that talk about of the world to kind of differentiate, like referencing like things that are not godly are worldly. And I liked this verse too, because it talks about that maybe testing so that you can discern, rather than shielding yourself so much that you don't even know why you're doing it, or if you don't know why it's so wrong. I think that is where, I don't know, you guys can talk about this too, where when I was shielded and restricted, all that really did was like get my curiosity up. And I think as kids, it was wonderful when somebody would actually be able to explain it to you. And sometimes they'd explain it to us in ways that were like, that can't possibly be true. My neighbor down the street is obsessed with Pokemon. How can they possibly be demon worshipers?
Right.
And so it caused a lot of curiosity and sneaking of watching the shows or watching Harry Potter, because it was like, how can this be for kids and also evil at the same time? And it was hard to understand, but I like this idea of like, a person has said, I'm going to scroll down where I wrote it. So somebody has said on a Quora thing, she said, as a parent, and she says she's a teacher, a parent, and a writer. She said, Christian parents need to be in the world. And she capitalized in, referencing this in the world, but not of it. She says, the world is code, you might say, for the unchristian surroundings we live in, but we need to understand it. We need to know about it. We should participate in it, but we sure should know what's out there. And in carefully modulated introductions, our kids need to know too, because they're going to be exposed to it whether we're ready or not. And I know I'm not a parent. I've worked with kids. I've gone out of my way in my work where I'm supposed to teach parents things to really like see that it's every family's different. And that's important too. But I think that my criticism is when there's been times that we completely shield our young from something, don't explain it, but also more importantly, maybe don't teach them that discernment, like teach them how to do the critical thinking, how to decide for yourself. I don't know if there's a perfect way to do that, or just say that every family that's exactly the same. Every person's going to be a little bit different with it. But what do you guys think about that quote that I read?
That's huge, because I would agree that discernment is the key here. Like knowing critical thinking and you know, that's an incredibly biblical concept of using discernment, being able to critically think and make decisions, good decisions. And I think that really should be the focus. And I'm saying that now as I think about being a parent, that this battle of shielding. And I get it. You know, it's not like, to a certain point, you know, there's certain things that certain age groups shouldn't see. And if you know your kid, like even taking Olin to Disneyland last Thanksgiving break, we thought it'd be totally fine to go on the railroad, the Disney railroad. Yeah. And there's one section with dinosaurs and lightning and thunder. And we thought, he loves dinosaurs. They'll be fine. And that he still remembers that very clearly. Like that was scary. Like even today, there was a little bit of a thunderstorm today. And he remembers, like, Daddy, I remember when they had lightning on the train. So, you know, that affected him. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, well, that clearly bothers him. So I need to remember he's a 3-year-old, like there's going to be things that bother him. Mm. And so there's kind of this tension in my head of, you know, what shielding looks like and creating these clear barriers as kids get older. But also, like you said, Jordan, there's something so important about teaching critical thinking and bringing into the world to say like, hey, these things exist. Mm-hmm. And here's, you know, here's what it's like here's what these things are. And not all of it is just inherently bad, but there can be problems that happen. You can play too many video games and get addicted. I mean, we know people that have dropped out of school because of that. And it's not even just the type of video game, right? It's just video games. And I've got kids now, students that deal with that, that stay up all night. And we talked about that before. So look, it's this tension between exposing to the point that they understand what it is in a reasonable way, but also not to the point where, you know, this fear, as we teach the next generation, this fear of them latching on to something and obsessing and, you know, becoming the what, less than 1% that read Harry Potter and actually get interested in the witchcraft. I mean, how many really do? I don't know. But there, if there is a real concern about that, or the group that does get addicted to video games, then you could say, yeah, like, you need to teach critical thinking. You really need to guard them in a certain way, but right. also not shield them completely. So it's that tension. I'm not sure
where that leads us. And let's say that, you know, if Harry Potter is a barrier for someone's like faith, right? That's really new. That came out when we were kids. And so it could be very easy for us to, you know, teach a kid Harry Potter is bad. And then they're like, yes. And they keep that. And that's a value that they have, that they're never going to touch it. And that's okay. But did we really teach them why, or like how to know? Because if we're just like saying yes and no to everything for them, what are we teaching them to think about, like, when the next new thing comes out? So it could be, I don't know what's out there. The vampire books were really big, like Twilight came out.
Oh yeah.
And classic. You know, there's a lot of controversies in that, just even like morally for anybody in society, of some of those books, and some of them, it's just like, yeah, it's whatever, you know. There's a lot of criticisms in lots of sorts of media that we wouldn't necessarily say is, well, it's going to trick kids to become Satan and the occult, but there is a fair bit of like, well, let's, maybe that's just not good for us to value, because of the way it could be, like the way we treat women, and how it's depicted in this thing. And that has nothing to do with per se, like being in the occult. But we can teach them, well, that's why we're saying that we're not gonna let you watch this, because this is not an okay behavior to exhibit. And this show kind of makes a joke out of it. And I don't know that you're ready to understand the difference between the joke for the TV show versus how to, you know, go ask a girl on a date. And I think that can go into, like we've said, like a lot of these things, even like The Simpsons as an adult, I'm like, why was I banned from that? And my dad was like, well, cause they constantly talk about sex. They have the sisters that are smoking on there. They constantly have the pastor. He's the butt of the joke. The church is always the butt of the joke. So that was something that, whereas now you watch it, we watch it together. It's like, we laugh about it, cause you know that it's just, that's just a punchline for a show. And that's not a real, how real church works, or how real, sex You're or older, smoking have, or things work. But at the time as a kid, maybe you didn't know. So that's why I held off on that for a long time. And I think there's value there too. We can teach them why, but we can also, instead of completely ban something, also talk about like, well, maybe they're just not old enough for that. Just like anything, like, you know, if you want to watch Playhouse Disney with a kid, they're not necessarily ready for Nick at Night per se. And it's just, they're not the target audience. Does Nick at Night still exist?
Or Toonami. Remember Toonami?
Toonami was the best. Jordan, what you're saying has... So I have a couple thoughts. The first is, I feel as if we're really talking about a couple different things. To me, it's like...
Sure.
This topic is like... Number one, what is it that I, as a Christian, follower of Jesus, and an Adventist, should partake in when it comes to media content? And then the other one is, if I'm a parent... or I'm a guardian or something, how do I even navigate that and manage that, you know, as it pertains to exposing my kids to media content? And do you guys think that's accurate? Like, because this feels like two different simultaneous things, which is totally fine, but that's just what I was hearing.
Yeah, sure. I think we're talking about parenting a lot, but that's also true. Like, at what point, you know, I'm an adult and I can make my own decisions. At what point, what point do I know that this is the bridge too far for me? It's a good question.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think because I'm not a parent, I probably resonate with the non-parent question a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I definitely think both are equally valid. The second thing is, and maybe we can come back to that, but the second thing is, I was thinking while you were talking, Jordan, that something you said piqued this in my mind was, and maybe I want to phrase this as a question. Do you guys think, I'll explain it as a as a story. You guys know I can't say anything without telling a story. So I feel as if in a lot of my interactions with non-Adventist and non-Christian friends, something that frustrates them about Christians and Christianity is this huge hyper focusing and overreacting on stuff like, you know, don't ever watch The Simpsons, don't ever watch Harry Potter, you know, this hyper reacting to like multimedia, like TV shows, movies, whatever. And then this sort of like hypocrisy in that, you know, you'll have a story that breaks of some, you know, elder who is abusing all these, you know, young children or whatever, or, you know, or the, you know, the Catholic Church and all of the abuse that has taken place or stuff like that. And so they'll feel as if, man, you guys really are hyper focused on like, don't watch The Simpsons or like, don't watch South Park. But then within your own church, you have like horrible, like abuse happening. And I don't laugh because it's funny, but more because of the absurdity. Have you guys felt that or seen that, or does that make sense? Because to me, I feel as if that's something that frustrates people that I talk to.
The double standard.
Yeah. The bit of the double standard there where like, we'll freak out about like, you know, a card game, but then you'll have, you know, abusive people in positions of authority and power and of spirit, you know, spiritual authority over others who.
Yeah. And that's going to be an issue anywhere, right? Like you could make that about anything, any platform the church stands on that then is undermined by another poor decision. Mm-hmm. But I think the key difference, I mean, the thing that I share is bottom line, you know, you can do the whole thing about like the church is made up of humans and the actions don't reflect the actual belief, but the failings of those previously stated beliefs. So the church obviously doesn't encourage those things that you mentioned, Anthony,
for sure.
It doesn't say like that's encouraged. So it's kind of distinguishing between actual doctrine versus practice and what happens in the failing. So I get it though. It's easy to target, you know, oh, how could you make this little issue mm-hmm. when you're really doing this behind your back? And there's a certain point to that where we should have our priorities straight and we need to address mm-hmm. the bigger issues, which is why I would circle back and say those, you know, Harry Potter, Pokemon, other media forms, even music, mm-hmm. the issue isn't even in the content itself. Mm. It's what is it leaving me with? Mm-hmm. And if I can critically think and look at and say, like I told Jordan, there was times I watched movies that just, there were horror movies that just brought a lack of peace in my life. Mm-hmm. Like it got to a point where like, nope, this isn't good. Like I could see it. And I was like, mm-hmm. this is not good. Same thing with video games. It's like, this is not working. Like I am physically suffering. I'm mentally, spiritually suffering. There needs to be I need to reprioritize, you know, the way my life works. Mm-hmm. And I had mm-hmm. to have that come to Jesus moment in high school. Mm-hmm. And so there were elements of that, but it wasn't even just based on one specific thing. It wasn't as simple mm-hmm. as I was playing too much Pokemon or Mario on video. It was more just about what matters most in life.
Did you talk about the Biden controller, Sean?
Ooh, no, I didn't. When I was a kid, I would. Yeah,
I didn't need to expose Nintendo 60.
No, like I even forgot that I even share. I'm trying to remember when we talked about that, Anthony, but
Sean,
like as a
everything.
Kid. I'm still a very competitive person. So, you know, I would get into, you know, playing games and really wanting to win. And I would get so angry. I had an anger problem as a kid. I would bite my controllers, like my GameCube and Nintendo 64 controllers. And you could see like the teeth marks on the edges of the controller from where I got gamer rage from that. And
when you weren't top 500 in Smash.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was. Like I played too many video games in grade school and high school. That's the bottom line. So for me, obviously it wasn't good. It wasn't a good part of my life because it wasn't even just the content. It was what it was doing after. Like you could see the effects. And I think that's where we should mm-hmm. focus on. We shouldn't don't focus on the content of what I guess Harry Potter, whatever. It's like, what does it result in?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's actual evidence out there, like these people joined things that were causing, you know, satanic worship and whatever, let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation about why that's happening. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever that could be applied to anything. Are the violent video games? Oh, here's another big one. Do violent video games cause violent behavior?
Right.
And,
oh no.
And And look, the I think Jordan the answer has thoughts is, about that. Look, the answer is plain, for me at least, the answer is no. Just bottom line, the violent behavior I did, like biting my controller, or throwing the controller, getting angry, my rage, those were in E-rated games. I wasn't allowed to have the violent video games, and I got mad. And so that the bigger issue was I was sitting too much. I was sedentary. I was playing game. It was that repetition that led to my, you know, whatever attention span being my behavior being modified, like well, the Sean, mental hits were all those things like that. Yeah.
Let me play devil's advocate. And I know Jordan, you had things to say, but wouldn't an opponent of video games just say like, well, see what, you know, like nonviolent video games did to you. Look how violent they made you. So therefore, if you're playing Call of Duty and you're, you know, you're shooting people, whatever else, isn't that going to be exponentially more so?
Yeah,
like Jordan, biting my tongue over here.
This is
Jordan, go.
I know Jordan has lots of things to say though.
Yeah, so my history and my degrees are in the fields of psychology. So I'm not going to say I have the accurate up to date information or anything like that. However, I did specifically do one of my senior research projects on do video games cause violence. And I do like I'm big on this. I think exactly what Sean said is more in the correct realm. Because from my research on video games and violence, what they're finding is like aggression does breed aggression, but they're not finding that video games are causing criminal levels of violence where they were not also correlated with other things going on with like certain kids. They were studying a bunch of kids in this school. So the kids that had like a lot of increase in bullying and kids who had already had like criminal histories of aggression and violence, those were the ones where they were seeing the outliers of the criminal level violence. However, we do see aggression increase. I can also talk that for myself. My favorite video games are the ones that tend to be single player, of course, but the role-playing games where you choose your choices. I want to make a character. I want him to choose. Those games
Mass Effect.
Have a lot of, Mass Effect's classic. One of my favorites of all time. Knights of the Republic, Star Wars Knights of the Republic, of course.
Classic.
But those games, like there's choices that they give you, and I love it because the endings are slightly different. And so I would go through and I want to be like the best Jedi ever, or like the most pure and good person. But then when you beat it, you're like, okay, now we play again. I want to see what the opposite of what I chose was. So you're choosing the purposeful evil, like, just kill that NPC for nothing, you know, kind of things that I didn't choose on my own. And the first time I just want to see what the opposite is. But I know even for myself, I was much more irritable during playthroughs of going for the Renegade Shepherd in Mass Effect or the Sith Path on the Star Wars games. I noticed that in myself. So that being said, like I said, I do think that what we spend a lot of our time with can affect us, our feelings, our emotions, our outlook. And of course, like how much time it's taking, like you're talking about staying up all night, or for me procrastinating to not do homework, or, you know, things that, you know, cleaning my house, doing laundry. I'll go to work in a dirty shirt if I was playing too much video games or watching, you know, binging too much TV. And it, like you said, it can be easy things. It could just be Animal Crossing, which is just a cute little game with animal neighbors and you plant trees and flowers. And that can take up a lot of your time. Or it can be something super violent, like that, you know, we talked about Call of Duty and things like that, where they just go out and they just
GTA.
They shoot each other, they steal cars all day long, and those are the nicest people ever, but that's not the only games they like to play. And it's it goes deeper than just does a video game or does what we watch do that to us, because some of the most spiritual people I know will tell you, will ask you on the first time they meet you what Harry Potter house you're in. You know, so it's so like not definitive, and I don't think it's definitive either way either, because we can sit here and, like I said, prove there's no Satan in this and it's not evil, but does that mean it's not going to get us in trouble and spiritually, emotionally, with our relationships, with taking care of ourselves and others? You know, too much of a good thing, I think that's where that kicks in, is where do I need to learn my own discipline? And I talked about, I don't know if you were on yet, but about growing up as a little kid, if I was given a choice, I would be watching the Saturday morning cartoons And I, you know, even if I said to my dad just one, I'd probably want to watch another and another. And if it was up to me by myself when I was young, I probably would have just stayed home every single Saturday watching cartoons. But we were like, okay, it's Sabbath. We're not going to do non-Christian cartoons. We're going to go to church, those kinds of things. Whereas an adult looking back, I think that first of all taught me discipline, but I would have missed out on a lot of that church community I had growing up, and knowing that those are people that can look out for you if you're going through a hard time. So I think that that level of discernment and discipline in anything is a healthy way to approach any of our hobbies or any of our work or anything in life. There's definitely got to be a balance. It's hard to like define probably in a podcast, it's worth discussing.
Well, and so, what you're saying, sorry, Sean.
Go, Anthony. Okay.
Jordan, you said something really poignant. Just your small case study of yourself while playing Mass Effect, which Mass Effect is also one of my favorite games of all time. So good.
You're welcome.
In fact, thank you. Jordan told me to play Mass Effect years ago, and I didn't until this year.
Yeah, you so told good. Me to watch the first play Dragon Age.
Mass Effect 1?
True. All three.
Oh, you played all three. Okay.
Oh, man.
They're made by the same creators. He was playing Dragon Age while I was playing Mass Effect, and we were like, you got to play the other one.
But you didn't play Andromeda, right? You didn't waste your time with Andromeda.
I actually did play Andromeda. I played I didn't even want to admit on air how many hours of Andromeda. It was not good.
I'll check your Steam account later. It tells
me. Cut it out.
Oh, man. It must have been like 30 hours before I was like, oh, no, this is not. But, Jordan, what you were saying about your case study of yourself, I think – essentially what you're saying is the things that we take into our life are formative. That's kind of what I'm hearing you say, is like, at least that's what you experienced in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, when you were playing like one playthrough where you were kind of, you know, described what the game calls a paragon, which is, you know, the good guy who's doing all the good things, you know, trying to save the galaxy in that game. You felt better within your own self than when you were like, you know, being evil in the game, essentially.
Yeah. And I think those playthroughs I'm trying to rush through because I just want to see what happens when you're evil. Story. But I always, you know, like just to brag on myself, I'm like, my true self is the one that goes in first. Right. And like, I want to see, can I save everybody? Because they do choices that are hard choices. Like, oh, if you do this, these people will die. And I want to go in and make sure, can I save everybody? Can I do the best thing? Can I have the best ending? That's what I really want. And then I go back and I kind of rush through like just to see, well, what if I did the opposite? So yeah, irritability, because like, yeah, you play like, say you're turning your Jedi character in Knights of the Republic into a Sith, he's gonna be like short with people and be like, I don't want to hear you out, I'll just cut you in half right now or whatever,
right?
They don't show you cutting in half in that game, but anyways, but that made it so it's like I'm doing that, and then I go out to dinner with friends and there is a little piece of me that's still used to like skipping the dialogue and just like, just get to it, you know? And I was kind of feeling irritable in my head. I was like, wait a minute. I need to let go. And in the same way, my brother talks about this a lot, like when he plays car racing games and then he goes to like drive his car, he's kind of has like a whoa moment. Like, wait, I have to be careful.
I have to be responsible. Like,
right. Because you get put into certain mindsets. That mean you're going to be stuck or sucked in? I don't think so, but I do think that there are, it's not like the opposite either, that you're going to like just be completely unaffected by something. Sean, you're talking about like not feeling great about horror movies as well. Like it's going to affect us. Does that change who we are and our character? Does that make us walk away from God right away? I don't think so, but it's also, I don't think that the opposite is true. I don't think that it would be like, oh yeah, just do it all the time. And then you still have like a really good connection with your community, really good connection with your church and with God. I think that for some people it's going to bother them and some people it's not. In the same way, it's like, I'd be careful. Like, I always like talk about like, you know, favorite horror movies. And if somebody says that they don't like it, I'll like tease them for a while, but I'm not going to like trick them anymore, Anthony.
You can just say my name, Jordan.
Trick them to come watch a movie with me when they've told me, like, yeah, I can't handle that.
Jordan, have we told the Paranormal Activity story?
No, you want to go ahead?
Oh, my word. So the short version is Jordan loves horror movies. I love Jordan. He's a good friend of mine. And we were roommates in undergrad. And I do not do scary movies at all. That is, I am not a scary movie watcher. I cannot handle them. It's not me. But Jordan loves scary movies. And so there was a time where we were roommates together, and Jordan, did you watch, there's a movie called Paranormal Activity. Don't look it up. Probably not.
First of all, it'll be in the show notes.
It started with the Blair Witch Project, because I referenced that there was a point where I was like, I'll never watch a horror movie again. But then I watched this movie, the Blair Witch Project, which I thought was actually terrified me, but I got that kind of adrenaline rush from watching something like that. Like, whoa, I survived. That was scary. But like, I get a rush from it. Not everybody does. But right. I was like, I think freshman year trying to convince you, like, well, you hate horror movies, but maybe you'll love it because I love this one.
Right. You were trying to convince me to watch horror movies, and you were watching a bunch, like you watched The Shining and a whole bunch.
Yeah. I was jumping in.
Of movies.
So to prank you, you went in the shower and I put my DVD in your computer and hit play and then close your laptop. So it'd be the first thing when you open it. So that is what I was referencing. Tricking people to watch it.
Yeah. I opened my computer and I was just literally like, I must've watched like a few, like a solid minute of it before I was just like, oh my word, this is not.
It was like opening credits.
I was like, Jordan, this is you. I know this is you. Anyway, this is an aside. What I was trying to get at was, I feel like, Sean, what you shared earlier about, you know, you playing Nintendo and like biting your controller, and what Jordan, you just shared, I feel like really speaks to this idea that like the things we take into our lives, they like affect us and are formative in some way. And I feel like there's a verse in Matthew chapter 6. I just looked up. I was thinking of that. Jesus says, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And I feel like this verse maybe leads us to maybe start wrapping up, because I feel like it's exactly what this is talking about. Because I've experienced the same thing. Like, I remember a show I really, really loved for a long time was Walking Dead. And super great show. It's all about, you know, zombie apocalypse. And at least at the time, I thought it was super great. And I still think it's really good. The actors are fantastic. But I remember after watching, so I watched about like 6 seasons of it. And I remember getting like to the 6th season or so, and just beginning to feel every time I watched it. And if you haven't seen the show, there's a lot of violence in The Walking Dead. That's like really violent, pretty gory, a lot of death, mayhem. And, you know, there's like dismemberment and blood and everything. And I remember at a certain point just sitting in my room after an episode and feeling like, I don't feel good after watching this. Like, this is affecting me. Like, I was beginning to feel just really weighed down and like really like dark. And it was kind of I kind of struggle with mental health stuff. So it was kind of, I felt a little bit like depressive after watching it. Like, it was just so heavy and emotionally like dark. And to a point where I just stopped watching the show because it was so dark for me. It was like affecting my mental health, the amount of like darkness and death and violence and gore. So I really resonate with this idea. And I think maybe this helps us circle back around to what you asked, Sean, like when you asked me, like, where is the line? Because I feel like the answer is really in that verse, Jordan, that you brought up, is like, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal, that by testing you may discern. And I feel like that's, and I don't know how you guys feel about this. Maybe you disagree, but I think that's where I kind of sit on this topic, is like, by testing you may discern. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you watch a thing and see how it makes you feel and how it affects your life. And if it affects it negatively, if it, you know, then I feel as if the Spirit kind of works through that in like speaking to you truth. But I also think on the flip side, there are things that maybe appear because of their like content on the outside, you know, like Harry Potter is a great example, because I love the story of Harry Potter. Like, I strongly believe the story of Harry Potter is strongly aligned with the story of the gospel in the Bible, the story of Jesus the Christ, the boy who lived. Like, I think it's so strong. I don't want to, I think saying that maybe is a bit of a Harry Potter spoiler, but, but not really. I feel like the story of Harry Potter so strongly aligns with the story of the Bible, and like light versus darkness, good versus evil, like death and life. Like, there's so much like love, sacrifice. There's so much in there that's so aligned with like strong Christian themes and Christian ideas. So there's something like Harry Potter where you're, you know, it's so easy to look at it. And probably like all of our parents in the 90s, like looked at it and they're just like, oh snap, this looks evil. But then when you actually dig a little deeper, you see like, oh wow, this is really telling like a similar story. Like how surprising and interesting. And I think a lot of media is doing that. So yeah, I don't know what you guys think about
and,
this.
And like to a certain point, it's like, even in Christianity, we kind of are okay with that idea of using analogies and other stories to recircle back to the gospel, because right, you've like got C.S. Lewis, or C.S. you've Lewis. Got C.S. Lewis with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And for some reason, that witch was okay because C.S. Lewis wrote about it.
Yeah, she's a bad guy.
So, well, yeah, but again, even well, that's the thing, Jordan. Even bad witches were still like not great.
Very true.
But in Chronicles of Narnia, it was okay, because we knew it was supposed to be a connection, you know, with Aslan and everything to Jesus and everything like that. So there's a place for that. There's a place for connect, but the discernment I would add on to you, Anthony, like the, if we're helping our listeners get something tangible out of this discussion,
yeah,
you know, to develop critical thinking and where does your root come? We would definitely say it's different than the world. The way the world discerns what's good and evil is different than what a Christian discerns as good and evil. So there needs to be a certain base. And this goes back to,
can I interject? What do you think is that difference? Do you think it's just inviting God into that process? Like,
yeah. You know? So, well, I think it's a mix of that, but it's also being, it is a sense of openness to where, like you mentioned, Anthony, where the Spirit leads, and you have to be willing to see where that's going to bring you. Cause for me, it may be a slightly different path, maybe similar in some ways to what you and Jordan experience, in what is okay and what isn't, what's going to bring me into an issue. So there are certain, you know, things that may lead to addiction or lead to an obsession or lead to something that brings imbalance in my life. That is a bit different than for you, but all three of us can resonate with certain things that we all found familiar issues in. So I think there are tangible ways that as we draw closer to God and if he's the priority, I think it actually does naturally sort out. And I know that's kind of a cop out. I think it's a kind of a cop out in some ways, because we want to say like, oh, well, how do you have this proven plan for avoiding and drawing the line for these things? But I think if God is actually the priority in your life, the fruits will be there. And if the priority is, you know, the classic idea is, you know, whatever you put in front of God and is more important in your life becomes that idol, becomes your God. And that will become apparent. Like that will in time become clear, and you can keep lying to yourself and live in that path of destruction, or you can move back to God and just recognize, you know what, this has been too much. Like I can see my relationships are suffering, my career is suffering, whatever else can be my mental health, my physical health, it will start becoming clear. So the more you prioritize God, I think that verse in, you know, whatever is true, whatever is noble, think whatever is pure, think upon those things. I think that's less about, hey, don't watch this, watch this instead. Watch VeggieTales instead of Yu-Gi-Oh. It's not about that. That's the wrong argument. That's the wrong point. It's more about what is most important. Like what does take up your mental space? What's most important to you? Because then, like you said, Anthony, the only reason the world is not going to make gospel conclusions by reading or watching Harry Potter.
For sure.
But you can, because you know what matters to you and you have a compelling story in Christ. And that took grip of your heart, so that when you see rhythms and echoes of that in the world, whether it was intentional or not, it connects with you.
And if I can jump onto that, and Jordan, I feel as if every time I talk about Harry Potter and I'm in spoiler light territory, your face is just dead inside. So I feel like we need to put like a light spoiler warning for Harry Potter in the show notes.
To be fair, it's been 10 years since the finale movie came out, and more than the books. I mean, I think that there's a limitation to how much spoilers we have to do, but
that's fair.
No, it's definitely fair. And like what you're talking about is that in the same way there are Christian parallels, like with Chronicles of Narnia, you know, Aslan laying his life down for what's good against the darkness. It spoiler did happen in Harry Potter in the same way.
Right. The boy who lived.
Right. But yeah, so, and same thing, like Star Wars is just, it could be, you know, people are annoyed. It's Star just Wars political or just lightsabers. I find something beautiful in that redemption arc of Darth Vader, somebody who was the most promising light side Jedi. He was going to be the chosen one. He was going to help save us, but he was tempted and he fell to the dark side. And then later his son brings him back, the darkest Sith that there ever was, brings him back to the light through love and through patience with him. I mean, that's to say in one movie, but yeah, so like I find that redemption arc for him, I find spiritual parallel there in that it doesn't matter how far you've gone, it's not too late for you. Does he probably, if he survived, spoilers, Darth Vader survived, would he have to answer for his war crimes? Yeah, for sure. But that spiritual level that the Force represented to me as a Christian, I look at that and I'm like, that's what's beautiful to me, is that we have fallen short. And even if we go off track as Christians, or go into sin, or go too far, or became obsessed with Harry Potter, or joined alternate religions that are not great, does that mean that we're not redeemable? And I can find that through that, I guess, discernment. And that's just me, it's my opinion with that one. But I think that it comes from that, like, I like that you said the testing so that you may discern. And what Sean said, it sounds like a cop out, but I think that when we do keep up with our spirituality, that it will become apparent to us, especially when you get older, you have that critical thinking, you are able to say that this doesn't make me feel good. Maybe it's time to take a break, and that's okay too. Or maybe it's time to say, you know, other people can enjoy this, but it's not for me.
It's not for me.
And I guess that's my conclusion too, is that having that ability to do that, to have that critical thinking, is so valuable for us as Christians. And as parents and raising our children, I think that is where I wanted this conversation to go at the end of the day too, is that it doesn't have to be for everybody. It doesn't have to be free for all for everybody on everything. But just that you can find that this doesn't bother me, but it does bother somebody else, or this does bother me, but it bothers nobody else. And to be able to say, I'm going to value myself and God and my family enough to say no to this.
That's hard, Jordan. What you just said, I think, is hard for a lot of Christians, because we want like a list and a rule book, and like a, because that's so much easier, is to just say like, these things are bad, these things are good. And I think so often in Christianity, we're just like, don't do this, do this, this is, these are all wrong, these are all right. But what you're saying, I think that takes a lot more work. And I guess it's kind of synthesizing what you said and what Sean said, like, because Sean is exactly what you said, was like, if you're connected with God, if God is in your life, if you're abiding, if you're inviting the Holy Spirit into your life, like the natural fruit that's going to happen is like, God is transforming you. He's making you more like Jesus. And it's, you know, like God is leading you into the fruit of the Spirit. Like, you're going to naturally want like the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You're going to naturally want like whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure.
And this, and now as you're saying that, it opens, and we can't go into it now, but it opens the can of worms where a certain perspective of Christianity is, since we're sinful in nature, that when we look at and be too much in the world, it's going to naturally lead us into the path of Satan.
It's going to lead us back into the,
whereas what, like, we're talking about Star Wars, is the opposite, which is that God will bring us into the light.
Yeah.
And he'll redeem us. He'll have mercy. He will convict. He will rebuke. He will do what he needs to bring us back into his light. So you have these two tensions in Christianity, one that's afraid of the slippery slope. And what we're proposing is that if you have Christ and God as your center, as your true north, that he will bring you into a balanced way of looking at these things, a healthier way. That can't necessarily be a list that we want. And so that's kind of been our mistake sometimes in Christianity, is we've made that list and it's not addressing the issue. It's like, well, why are the kids still doing it? Or why are this, because it's not dealing with the main problem.
Yeah.
I mean, so
literally this verse, that's what this verse is promising. It's like, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern. So like, that's a promise of God. It's like, you know, as we like go back to God and say like, God, can you continue to make me more like you? Like, we're going to crave the things that he wants. And, you know, I think sometimes it's hard to trust that. And, you know, to be fair, sometimes we're maniacs. Like, sometimes I'm a maniac. And
sometimes we fail. We do fall. And we're all in a different journey. Like, we're in different processes. So it's kind of, it's easy to judge, but if we're truly coming at each other in the church and otherwhere and in different places with that sense of God wants to redeem you, then it changes the way that I look and talk about these things with a student or with a colleague or another church member or a leader. It changes the way we talk about it.
Yeah. This is good. Have we covered everything we wanted to cover?
Last thing I would say is, you know, on that topic of like the difference between like, you know, well, because of sin, we will naturally be attracted to sin, or because of God, we'll naturally be attracted to, or God's going to help us do that. I, the way I understand it, I know I'm going to just jump through without like scripture or anything, but God gave us this freedom of choice, which is why, you know, we became tempted into sin in the first place. That's just Bible lore. That's canon. He gave us that freedom of choice and free will. And to me, that means that it's absolutely imperative as Christians to become educated and to learn and to create that critical thinking skills, because we still have the ability to make choices, and we have abilities to make mistakes and then make new choices to correct them. Like I said, what I mostly don't agree with is this idea of the completely shielding and sheltering and creating this list of facts that like, oh, well, if you are reading Harry Potter, you can't even walk into my church right now. Those kinds of things, because what that's saying is that like, we shouldn't have critical thinking. We should just hide. And that creates a lot of other issues where we're not, what if we're not ready for the next thing because we don't know how to address it? Or what if we're pushing people away who don't know what they did was so wrong to you, you know, because we're saying like, you have to be perfect to come here, or critical thinking, or like thinking for yourself is wrong, just follow the pack. That's not really what we're going to face. We're going to face sin. We're going to face temptation, and we're going to hear the still small voice. And we need that discernment to know, when is that going to happen for us? And how are we going to address it when it does?
That's really good.
So I feel like, is that going to help us become the very best, like no one ever was?
Are you quoting Mulan? What is that? All right,
someone play that backwards and see if it said Hail Satan or something.
If it had some sort of...
He's singing the Pokemon song.
That's the Pokemon song, Anthony.
I just mixed up Pokemon theme song with Mulan.
Eric's going to put that in post. He's going to put the Pokemon song in the background.
Oh, I hope he does.
So,
Jordan, thank you so much for being with us on this one.
Absolutely.
This is the best.
Like I said, long time listener, first time on the pod.
Jordan is our biggest
fan. I've
known
these guys, all of them, even Jesse and Eric, for so long. And I've had discussions with them in the past that when your first season was out, I was listening to it in my car. And I know your voices so well that I was in traffic by myself and I was trying to reply to you guys as if it was a phone call.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite memories because I was embarrassed when I realized what I did. No one's around. It's just traffic. And I was just like sitting in my car, like, I hope the person next to me didn't see me talking, like as if, as if they were like judging me, like, and not just dealing with traffic too.
That's funny.
But yeah, so excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, man, we're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think we will. I think there might be something else in the season. We'll see happen. So
who knows?
Maybe.
Maybe. Wow.
We'll see how this episode does first. If it gets good ratings, then we'll bring it back.
All based on the ratings. That's for sure.
Gotta get the dough. Just cold hard cash.
Like, we don't want to sponsor you. You have new hosts.
Amazing.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Seeking What They Sought. Feel free to reach out to us on our website or social media to let us know what you think. As always, I want to thank our producer, Eric Edstrom, who has won the I Predicted the Mariners Wouldn't Make the Playoffs Award 21 years in a row. Well done, Eric. Thanks for keeping the dream dead. To everyone who took the time to listen, thank you so much. And we hope you'll look forward to the next episode of Seeking What They Sought.